How's the audio so far? Is it
Very
okay?
good.
Is it better than the audio from yesterday's show? Yeah? Okay, good.
Yeah.
I can also hear you guys a little better. Okay, so Orod HaTorah, with no further ado, I thought we would start a new perek in honor of the new Zman. I think we're just skipping a few piskaot, but I just want to start something new. Let's start Perek Zion. Perek Zion, Tsa'ar Bittul Torah. And hopefully we can draw a lot of chizuk for these, these yomim yuchadim. We're in very, very special days. And this is a very unique tkufa, and we have to do our best to be mischazek b'limud haTorah. There are a lot of nisyonos around us. It's not easy focusing when you're at home, in your own bedroom. The kitchen's right there, the refrigerator, and other various nisyonos. And I thought maybe Perek Zion would be a good opportunity to contemplate the tsar of Bittul Torah. The pain of Bittul Torah, what are we missing out on when we do not capitalize on our Limud Torah opportunities? So let's open together Perek Zion, Piska Aleph. This is readily available online. If you just type in Orot HaTorah, Perek Zion, it'll give it to you right there. And let us begin. Yeshnan Kama Sibot. Hama'akvos es ha'adam midivrei Torah. Shelo yikantsu bilvavo. There are various factors in this world that potentially could prevent somebody from allowing divrei Torah to enter into his heart. Hold on, let me just admit there's some more people here. Okay. A person needs to know that there are factors in this world that can potentially be ma'akev. They can hold the Divrei Torah outside a person's heart and prevent them from entering into his heart. I think the usage here of the word bilvavo is very significant in Rav Kook. Welcome to the new Talmidim who just joined. Hold on a second. Okay, it's a big zechus to see all the participants, even those whom I can only see their names. Even the names shine a beautiful light in these times. So Rav Kook says there are factors in this world that could potentially prevent us from allowing Divrei Torah to enter our hearts. And I think the word bilvavo in Rav Kook is very significant. Because Rav Kook here is not talking about things that will hold Torah outside our minds. The mind will always be capable of chopping if you really put your mind to it. I happen to think that there's nothing too difficult. There's nothing that the human mind in Torah is incapable of grasping. I think as a Rebbe, I've seen this over the years. It could be that a very complex chiddush or a complex mahalach may have to be broken down into steps. It may take a full shiur to break down a Reb Chaim or a Reb Shimon Shkop to fully chop it. But once you break down Torah into its logical steps, I don't think there's anything that's standing between the human mind and understanding Torah. And that's why I think Rav Kook was careful here to say there are things in the world that potentially can be ma'akev what? That can potentially hold divrei Torah or prevent them from entering the heart. Because logically, the human mind has the ability to connect with Torah. But is Torah going to impact you? Is Torah going to enter into your heart and make a change? This is not a given. It's not a given. And you could be brilliant, and you could be the top kid in school, the highest SAT scores, but the Torah isn't yet nichnas lilovavo. And Rav Kook here is discussing what are the things that we need to do. Part of our avoda of limud Torah can't just be the logical steps. It can't just be the mind working. If we're going to make limud Torah avodas Hashem, we have to make sure that Torah is nichnas lelevavo. We have to make sure that the Torah enters into the heart and changes us and forms us and molds us into a new individual. If I could just add, I'm just going to mute you guys just so we don't hear the background, if you don't mind. No offense to anybody. I know it's a little rude. V'tamid tzrichim ladas mahi hasiba hameakeves ba'osa sha'a sheha'ikuv hu morgash. So therefore, part of our yeshiva experience is knowing how to identify what those ma'akvim are. Part of our avodas Hashem is learning how to identify what is it that's preventing me from totally fusing myself with Torah. What is it that's holding the Torah on the outside? I see this very often throughout the years. You'll have a Talmid who wants to embrace Torah. He wants to be immersed. But deep down inside, there's something that's preventing him. There's something beneath the surface that's standing in his way. There's something almost an intangible that's preventing the Talmud from fully throwing himself into it. And Rav Kook says that it is incumbent upon us, Ladas mahi hasiba hama'akeves. You have to learn how to search for that cause. Where is that mechitza? What is creating that partition between us and Torah that's preventing me from just throwing myself at it? So part and parcel of our Limud Torah experience, whether it's this year or whether it's in the years to come, we need to know how to remove the causes that create those me'akvim, that create those mechitzos, that create that distancing between us and Torah. We have to locate them in order that we know how to remove them. Kedei sheyipasach libo lihikasher yafeh bedivrei Torah. Because ultimately, there's that word again. Look at that. Kedei sheyipasach libo. He's not talking about mocho. This whole Ketan Rav Kook is how do we go past the intellectual pursuit of Limud Torah? That's easy, you know, it's easier. You know, sometimes it's very challenging to chap shir. But that, if you slow down, if you get a chavrusa, can you chazer with me? That you can break down the mahalach, you'll be able to chap it. It may take a half hour, it may take 3 hours. But what's really challenging in Torah? Sheyipasach libo lihikasher yafe b'divrei Torah. I think this is so beautiful. This is almost poetry. We want the lev lihikasher yafe b'divrei Torah. We want the lev to embrace Torah, to be bonded with it. We want the lev of the Jew to be synonymous with Torah. We want it to bond with Torah and become one unit. Ki im lo yeda es hasiba hanechona, yesh yitrach harbe lahaser siba acheres, she be'emes eina me'akavto achshav. Because if you don't know the real reason that's holding you back, then you may be putting in an awful lot of effort to remove some other reason. You may be making a very concerted effort to remove something else when the real reason is found in another area of life entirely. And we'll give a few examples in a second. The Hasiba Hasholetes Achshav Shehim Akavto Kaes Mikishura Shal Torah Tisha'er Be'ena. If you don't know how to identify that cause that's distancing your lev from Torah, then that cause is going to prevail. It's going to persist. And you're going to be trying everything else and you're going to see no results. And then it's just going to be frustrating because I'm not moving. I don't feel like I'm moving anywhere. And the real Siba, the real cause, is going to persist. V'ya'amod ha'adam b'mevuchaso. And then potentially a Talmud of Torah will continue in this state of confusion. Why am I not connecting? I'm really trying. I'm trying hard. I'm doing everything I'm told. And then this leads to confusion. Why am I not connecting with Torah? The Hasibos Halalu, Yesh Mehen Shehen Ruchnias, the Yesh Shehen Gashmias. Sometimes these ma'akvim, these preventions, can be in the spiritual realm. Sometimes they can be in a very physical or tangible realm. Yesh shehin ba'os mechesron hachshara shel kodesh. Sometimes it's because you're not prepared enough in the realm of kedusha. The yesh shehin ba'os mechesron hachshara shel chol. And sometimes it's stemming from the fact that you haven't developed enough background in your general mundane life. What's Rav Kook discussing? Those last two words are a little, the last two lines are a little cryptic. I think Rav Kook is saying is as follows. Let's say a person gets to yeshiva, he begins his Talmud Torah experience, and he doesn't feel like it's nichnas lelibo. So what does he often think? He often says, oh, it's because of the chavrusa. Sometimes he'll say it's because of a shir, it's because I'm going to too many chugim, I'm not going to enough chugim. Sometimes he'll say, oh, my shana bet chavrusa isn't doing enough to me, going too slow, going too fast, and then you try all these sibos. Now, if it's any of those sibos that I just mentioned, then a person tends to start to take action, right? I'm going to change this, change that. And it definitely could be those are sibos. But Rav Kook says, very often in a young Talmud, it's hard to find what the real siba is. And this is what part of your yeshiva experience is, learning how to find the siba. Maybe the siba is coming from something else. I'll give you an example that this is, unfortunately, it's much too prevalent in the world of Torah today, but it exists, and I'm probably not revealing any secrets to you guys. If a guy is involved in his room at night in something that's antithesis to Torah, and what he's doing on his phone or whatever is taking him into an entirely different world, that could be a ma'akev to how much the lev connects with Torah. And if you don't realize that those worlds are indeed and antithetical, if you don't realize that those worlds are mutually exclusive, then you may waste months and months of trying to change this thing up, change that thing up, when really what's going on is you're living a life of stira within yourself. You're living a life of stira. Of course you're not going to be able to embrace Torah. Or I'll give you something else that often comes up. Again, this is not something that anyone should be embarrassed about. Rav Kook is just trying to make us aware. And this happens in Shalvim at a fairly high rate, just because of the nature of the guys we have. A guy comes to yeshiva, comes to an advanced yeshiva like Shalvim, and he, you know, he expects to get, you know, really get into it. You know, and if you're listening to a recording of this, perhaps, you know, just fill in the blank. It could be any yeshiva. I'm not discriminating. You get to a serious yeshiva, you want to get into it. And things aren't moving and things are a little difficult. And then a person starts to, you know, explore what are the various things that that could be wrong. But where doesn't he look? He doesn't look at the fact that really deep inside what's bothering him is Rav and Shmuel are arguing. Let's take an example from this year. Rav and Shmuel are arguing about Mave in the Mishnah. Arba avos nezikin. What does that mean? That means I'm spending a week about a machlokes, about what a Mishnah meant. Who says that Chachmei Yisrael ever got it right? Who says that the Chachmei Yisrael really, when they're mechadesh adin, who says that they really are mechaven to the emes? Who says that this is really Dvar Hashem? Now, why don't people often look in that area of their lave? Because, oh, like I'm in a serious yeshiva, I'm supposed to be after that already. I'm supposed to be an Arba Avos Nezikin. And hey, I was accepted to Shalvim because I stunned the Rebbe giving me the interview with a fancy mahalach. So when I'm going to come to him now with a question in Amuna, I'm going to come to him with how do we know the Gemara's mechaven la'emes? Now, but if this siba is present, if there's a chashash in your lev about emunas chachamim, how do I know it's all really true? That chashash is going to peck away at your brain and whatever sugya you're involved in. And it's not going to leave you, because when you learn about Hilchos Shabbos, you're going to be like, how do I know that the 39 Melachos of Shabbos is what the Ribono Shel Olam meant? Now that's a Siba Me'akeves. And a Talmud of a yeshiva, a Torah student, needs to be honest with himself and look into every part of his Avodas Hashem to determine what could be the factor that's holding me back. And I actually am very proud of Talmidim when they come to me with questions about Emuna and about Matan Torah and about how do we know that the rabbis could really darshan avav. Who says the rabbis could darshan? And maybe it's all wrong. That could be a huge siba me'akeves. But if you don't look there, you could spend a long period of time in your life changing this and changing that and changing sfarim. As you could go, sometimes you could like change a sefer every week. I once was a Rebbe in a certain seminary for Night Seder. Now, there's no class in Night Seder at this particular seminary. And it was, independent study. And there was a phenomenon that repeated itself again and again, that the students would learn a sefer for a week. A week and a half, 2 weeks, and then change up. And I think it stems from this, because if the lave isn't connecting, then often we reach to the most obvious sibos. It must be that the sefer is not that interesting. It's probably because I'm not connecting with the Rebbe who's giving the chug. So I'll drop the chug. I'm not saying it's a bad idea to decide not to go to a chug. Sometimes that's the right. Sometimes that's the right mahalach. But sometimes the siba is stemming from something else. And Rav Kook is saying we have to be sensitive to those sibos. You never know what that siba is. Now, is this a... I have a question for the Chevra. Do you think Rav Kook here is writing this piska for the Torah student? Or is there another population that he's addressing? I know the give and take is a little hard on Zoom, but do you think that Rav Kook is only addressing himself to the Torah student? Or is Rav Kook also addressing himself to another very important population, Don't forget to unmute yourself if you want to say something. Anybody?
Can it potentially be the Rebbe as well?
I think he's also writing to the educators and the parents out there. What happens when you see a kid in the back of the shiur room and he's having trouble with Bava Kama? Do you label him as the bad kid? Do you label him, oh, he's the unserious guy? He's probably not going to be very successful in Gemara. Or, I'm giving myself Musa right here, when the parent gets a call from the Rebbe in Yeshiva, you know, your son really isn't doing anything. He's just sitting, he holds up his Gemara like this, and he's got Harry Potter in there or something worse. That what's your response? Is your response, the kid obviously is unconnected. He must be not a ruchni person. It must be that he's not a very spiritual person, not connecting to Torah. Or does the parent or the educator try to uncover within the Talmud and within the child, what is it deep down there that's holding you back? If any of you are going to become educators, and Mirza Hashem, you'll all be parents. A parent is a mechanech. You're going to have to look for these sibos along with your children. What is it that's holding you back? Because maybe the kid's not a bad kid. Maybe the kid is having some emotional issues. That could be a siba. Maybe the kid is really looking for what the Kuzari has to say. Or he's looking for Maharal or Baal Shem Tov. Does that mean he's not a spiritual kid? The fact that his Rosh right now is not wrapping itself around Arba Avos Nezikin, because he wants to know what a real Shabbos experience is. The kid needs a Nesiva Shalom. He needs a Svasemes on the Parsha. So you're going to label him as the bad kid, the kid that's lacking ruchnias, when really the siba is he's looking for a different form of connection. Or maybe the siba, we learned a few weeks ago before the Ben Azmanim, maybe the siba is that the kid is totally unconnected to tefillah. If a kid is unconnected to tefillah, then Torah can't just be one side of a conversation. Our relationship with God needs to be a two-way street. If you don't have tefillah, if tefillah is totally meaningless to you, so Torah is also going to be meaningless. There is a tendency for Torah also to be meaningless. So I think Rav Kook here is warning both Talmud and educators and parents, before you label a kid, in fact, you should probably never label a kid as the bad kid. The kid that just has the empty heart. The kid that just can't connect with Torah. Really what we should be doing together with Talmidim, with our children, help them to reveal the sibos. Maybe the sibos are something very, very basic. Maybe there's an emotional need in the child's life that's not being met. Maybe the child is involved in certain activities that don't go hand in hand with Torah. Or maybe the kid is just looking for some real spiritual experiences. Once you reveal the siba, Rav Kook says, then the Torah's nikshar, yafe yafe. Then the Torah can fuse with the heart. It's almost like Rav Kook is saying, don't date Torah like you date a girl. When you date a girl, it may work, it may not work. And sometimes you just have to give up. In Torah, there's never any giving up. To borrow from Rav Nachman, ain yush ba'olam when it comes to Torah. What you have to do is just remove the mechitzos. Once you remove the mechitzos, the neshama of the Jew and the Torah are like magnets. They're going to draw together. If you're not drawn to Torah, it means there's a siba that's holding you back. So you never try out Torah. Never date Torah like you would date a girl and decide it's not for you. the Torah experience is exploring what are the sibos that are holding me back. Because once you rid yourself of those sibos, you're going to be nikshar. The Torah, yafeh, yafeh. There's a natural relationship here that's just waiting to happen. And your job is really to remove the ma'akvim, to remove the sibos. Thank you very much, Rabbosa. I'd like to give all of us a bracha that the words, these words of Rav Kook should enter our hearts and excite us to learn more and more Torah during these troubling times, and to realize that our unique avoda during this time is to be a shmirah al ha'olam. We really, really believe, I told my Talmidim, that the Ribbono Shalom says, Torah's magin hu l'kol achosim bo. This is the protection against all the dangers that lurk in the world. And we're at the forefront. And I hope that this Kayin Zman is going to be an opportunity for us to take up Torah a notch. Let's take it up a notch and let's be at the forefront of the world's effort to overcome this terrible sakana that lurks. And in Mirtz Hashem, we should only see bracha v'hatzlacha in all of your communities and your homes and in Klal Yisrael and the entire world, Yisher Koach. Thank you very much for joining, everybody. Very important to Scott today.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay. Bye-bye.